What's up, everybody? How you doing? And welcome back to another season and episode of Living Life Intently. This is a Live Life Intense podcast. I'm one of the hosts, Lee Frazier. Jonathan Canary is not here today, but he did a lot of work in getting this podcast edited and streamlined from a lot of recordings we did to kind of give you guys an amazing episode. And before we jump into it, I just want to say how excited we both are for getting this season rocking and rolling. We're pretty fired up to get on the road. We've both been extremely busy since October. Jonathan's back in school, and I picked up a couple construction projects, you know, just filling a time, but trying to get things done while the weather's been nice here, so we don't have to do so much rushing in the spring to get the campground and all that stuff rocking and rolling. So now that we're, you know, past the holidays, and hopefully we get a little bit of snow and things calm down, now we got a little bit more time to focus on this podcast. So we're looking to do at least 10 episodes, if not more. We're going to be featuring some ultra runners, some pretty big canoe trippers, guys that wrote books, tons of different things, and some really cool individuals we've met along the way. But this season, we wanted to kind of add some other element into the podcast. And if you follow us on socials, you know that we've been doing a call out. Or if you've listened to the little teaser that we put out before Christmas, just an update on the new season. We're putting a call out for people to submit adventure stories, misadventure stories, funny things that have happened, scary things that have happened. You know, we've got a couple in right now about being charged by bears or moose or meeting somebody backcountry. You had no idea who they were until, you know, till later when you got out and Googled the name, that sort of stuff. You know, we got a couple people submitting those, but really anything goes. We're just looking for a 30-second to 60-second clip, audio clip. You can email it to info@livelifeintense.com, and we'll feature you in an upcoming episode. We'll let you know, and we'll send you a sticker pack and a thank you pack for joining and submitting this little clip. But yeah, we want to have a little bit more input from you, the listener, and kind of create this little bit of a community and have fun with it. That's what this whole thing's about. Anyways, this podcast, I'm just going to jump into it because I'm talking a little bit too much this evening. It's been a minute, man. I'm enjoying myself. So this podcast features Claire from the Seawall Trail Society. Now, we recorded this back in, I believe it was the end of October, if not early November, at Cabot Shores Wilderness Resort. The Seawall Trail Society was hosting a film festival which featured some YouTube videos that people have compiled over the last couple of years. So our video called The Last Days of Summer was in it. Dave and Sky were there with one of their videos. Ash Mack was there, and a few other people were there as well. And it got live streamed. We all met at Cabin Shores, had a great weekend, and then sat down the next morning and discussed routes, things along the way that each one of us, you know, different sections that maybe one person had hiked that the other person didn't, because the Seawall Trail as it stands is not an actual trail. It's a proposed trail system. Now, what you'll hear in this podcast is the hurdles that they're trying to jump through to get this thing off the ground. But as it stands, there is no trail. And it is probably the best backcountry, most rugged, crazy view experience that you are going to have in Nova Scotia, if not Atlantic Canada. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been in that area for a very long time, since I was a little kid, and it's my absolute favorite place. Paulet's Cove, if you're familiar with that, is kind of part of that area, but there's a massive, massive backcountry area. So the Seawall Trail is actually 4 days. It's around 50 kilometers. You're doing about 10,000 feet of elevation gain and loss, give or take, over those 50 kilometers. Epic views. I mean, it's amazing. If you have any inclination to doing anything big backcountry multi-day trips, this has to be on your list. So anyways, we sat down with Claire and discussed all this stuff and talked about it and what's coming in the future and what they hope to come in the future. And to lead this off, we have a little edit that Jonathan Canary did. It's a little bit of a soundscape with some clips that we recorded from the presentations by each person, and then a little bit of a shout-in at the end. But yeah, I think you did a good job. So without further ado, this is the very first episode of Living Life Intently. Follow us on all social channels at Live Life Intense and at Sounds of Fire, which is Canary's handle on Instagram. And yeah, let's rock and roll. Anyways, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. Peace.
So what you're going to see here is a real raw footage of the fucking Seawall Trail. There's no music in the background. This is just straight up fucking the boys hating themselves. And there's no, there's not going to be any like, oh, cool, like, camera scenes of us walking. It's like me pulling my phone out and saying, wow, this fucking sucks. Like, you know what I mean? So it's more, it's really realistic. I mean,
you guys saw a lot of like fantastic drone shots and stuff. It's incredible. But yeah, so ours is kind of like, it's just kind of like, I'm saying, we're having fun, doing our thing, and you know, it's just kind of lighthearted. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. It was
probably, no, we didn't. Just there was a point in time where we were sitting at the base of Bald Mountain, and I looked at Aiden and I said, go fuck yourself, and I walked off. Also, I heard you talking, you said 20-pound bag. My fucking rucksack was 70 pounds. I want to fucking die every single day.
Like, I tried to tell him multiple times what he was getting himself in for.
Fuck, sir. Fuck.
And he's in the army, and he wears these army boots, you know, that, I don't know.
Sure,
and there was no soles left to these boots that he wore.
I went solo. It was a great hike. I enjoyed myself. I beat myself up a lot.
So we just ended up jumping on this, and it was just going to be me and Alec. Through people just showing up at the campground, other people jumped in. I hiked with all the film gear on this one, and after a summer of drinking beer and not exercising and just literally going to the river, this was like the first big workout that I had, and it sucked.
Alright, well, we'll go through some water here, and, well, you got breakfast going.
He lost that water filter 20 minutes later.
So, anyways, this was the film, Last Days of Summer, with Alec and the crew, and I was going to try to edit all the cursing out of it, but there she goes.
My plan for my video was kind of like to try and show like kind of all the nitty gritty kind of stuff. So I bought a GoPro specifically for the trip so I could film as much as possible.
Quick question for Mark, what's your squat, man?
Usually go 365 for five or so.
Jesus.
And I'd love to offer you guys a round of applause for starting this trend.
To film it?
Film.
Oh, thanks! Yeah. Yeah. We also made the Seawall video, like, promotional video. So that was like a bunch of footage. So if you're ever curious of like all the different kinds of footage, the best of is basically in that video.
So the Seawall Trail is, to me, one of the most difficult experiences I've ever went through. It was definitely a lot more challenging than anyone had ever prepared before or told me about. So if you ever plan on going out to do that, definitely train. Definitely know your terrain and know what you're going to be going through.
The Seawall Trail is absolutely fantastic.
Like, can I say anything else after it? Okay. The Seawall Trail is excellent. Follow Davey Sky on Instagram.
The Seawall Trail is discoverable.
Seawall Trail is one of the top walking experiences that I've ever done, and I have walked in numerous places all around the world. There's a special combination of flora and fauna up there, and the real special treat is that you can walk in the mountains right next to the ocean, which is something that is really rare in a long-distance walking trail.
Seawall Trail is world-class hiking destination.
The Seawall Trail is absolutely stunning. I would recommend it for everybody with experience. They need fortitude. They need gumption. They cannot just go on a dream. You need to train. God help anyone that just wants to do it. You need to train.
The Seawall Trail is epic.
The Seawall Trail is as beautiful from the ocean as it is from the land, as it is from the sky, and it's a place that you should visit before you die.
People would have never walked the trail if we didn't put it on the map. So, you know.
A baby fell out of the window. You'd think that its head would be split. But the baby was saved that day when it fell in a bucket of shaving cream. Be nice
and clean. And we are back, folks. What's up, Jonathan?
Not too much. We're at the Seawall Trail Film Symposium.
Welcome to
it. Is that what this thing's called?
I love that.
I'm feeling much better now, Claire. So thank you for that.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep, yep.
Thanks. Thank you.
So, Claire, what are we doing here?
And Claire, why don't you introduce yourself, Claire?
Hey, my name's Claire Walke. I am in the role of Trail Development Lead for the Seawall Trail Society. I started working with the society in 2016 when I was a part of the original proposed trail plan, which was submitted in 2018, and fell in love with that incredible majesty of rock and water and challenge up there, and have continued to pursue it, and have been lucky to, for the last year, work for the society part-time.
And why don't you explain what the Seawall Trail is to some people that might not know? Hopefully everybody listening knows what it is, but...
Amazing, yeah. So the Seawall Trail is a proposed hut-to-hut hike that goes from Red River, the community of Pleasant Bay in the south, to along a undeveloped, completely pristine coastal mountain range, 50 kilometers of backcountry hut-to-hut hiking up to Meat Cove in the north. And it is a really amazing opportunity for Nova Scotia, both in terms of really bringing Nova Scotia and adventure tourism offered in Northern Cape Breton to the world stage. It would be the only trail of its kind in North America.
Shit.
Yeah. There's other trails like the Long Range Traverse or the Appalachian Trail, which are in the same sort of world-class
category.
Yeah. But they don't have huts. And right now, we don't have huts either. We are still working with government partners to try to secure the funding and permissions required to do this type of a groundbreaking, first-of-its-kind trail.
Well, listen, I've hiked it many times, and I'm glad that there's people behind it. Like I said last night when we were chatting, was... What, Johnny?
No.
Oh, no, nothing. Oh, okay. No, I was saying last night when we were chatting about the trail and all that sort of stuff, you know, I was very happy to hear back when I was a kid that this was something that was being put on the radar. And then over the years of, you know, ran into, Ray, at a tourism summit, and then, you know, through this spring got in contact with you, and yeah, it's been great. Getting people on that trail and experiencing it, because I think it's like, it's something that here in Nova Scotia, I mean, we have backcountry in Kedgy, and there's, you know, backcountry in the park, and there's different hiking trails here in Cape Breton Island, but something that's actually remote, that's similar to, you know, Long Range Traverse or something of that magnitude and distance and multi-day is something that's definitely needed here in the province. Something that's a little bit more marketable than just like throwing a guy in a canoe in the Tobiatic Wilderness area and letting him go for a couple days.
I've never done it in the spring, fall, or summer, but we did it in the winter once.
It's wild.
It was a good time.
I mean, in-
I've done sections of it when there's no snow, but I'm excited to next year maybe take some time and go and explore it.
Yeah, in fairness, we did an easier version.
A version of...
Yeah. Less up and down, more riding the Barrens into Paul's Cove and then up to the box back.
Because the Barrens are all frozen, so you don't need to avoid all those swamps. You can just coast straight over them, right?
Yeah, cruise over top. I think that that's incredible. I think a thing that we don't have a lot in Nova Scotia because of the amount of private woodlands and sort of lack of crown land is opportunity to spend time in the wilderness without an overly developed front country trail that's guiding you. It's a real chance, I think, to get lost and find yourself and be really challenged and humbled by climbing a mountain. I think in our world, we have gotten really used to skyline trails or, you know, places where it's easy to access that moment of mountaintop Instagram success. And here is an opportunity where you really have to earn every step. And there's real risk. And I think the society has always seen itself as existing to preserve that experience as challenging and as an extremely remote experience where you're faced with true wilderness and the impact of humans on the land is not noticeable, while at the same time trying to keep people safe, because it really is the idea that people are going out there in the winter is terrifying. That sounds like how I die.
So our listeners can probably hear people chatting in the background, and so there's a whole pile of us here, and we sat and watched some films last night.
Yeah, and this will continue to be up on our website and Facebook page, but people are welcome to participate in the film festival voting up until November 8th, and then we will send you guys awards. we asked for people who have put out videos of the Seawall Trail experience, to select a video and share it with us. And, inside those videos are so much information, both about the wilderness area and, about the, if you were to try to attempt this, you would want to watch all of these videos to get a good sense of exactly how challenging and the type of, things that you're going to need to bring with you.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's videos were great. I loved everybody's videos, but Aiden's was my favorite. His vlog of the entire, their uncensored vlog of the trip was that really touched me. I had a really good time.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good like cap of, because I did watch it before, but I didn't watch it as intently as I did last night. Right. It was more or less like they posted it. I think he made a post about it. And so I'm watching it while I'm doing something else. Right. Not really paying attention to all the little nuances within it, but
their personalities in it were really great, because Aiden's like so charismatic or whatever, and the other guy's so crass.
I think and so these films are all really satisfying to watch, not just for the incredible drone footage. Like, huge props to people for not just carrying their packs and their tents and their stoves, but also drones and lots of camera gear and tripods. Incredible, incredible shots.
And the crew that Davey and Sky went with looked really cool, really random. And they had met some people at the hostel and went and did it. And I think that's really fantastic, too, that, you know, they could share that experience with people who may not have otherwise had that opportunity. And that's kind of what this is all about, right?
Yeah, totally. And so we started the film fest off with Live Life Intense Last Days of Summer video, which is extremely charming, as you would expect from Lee Fraser, as well as has a great mix of it felt to me like I was camping with my buddies. We then watched Ashley's Life of Ashmack, and it is incredible. I think that would be the educational highest value. If you want to learn about the land, you want to learn about the history,
Absolutely.
That's the one to watch. then we watched Hiking Through's film, The Solo Hike, which is beautiful. And I think if you're going to send one to your parents and they like classical music, that's the one.
I really liked his too. Yeah.
And incredible legs.
Oh, he's got tree trunks.
That film has legs. It's going to go places.
Wait.
Nope, wrong one. Wrong one.
All right. That's amazing. And so then that was followed by Davey and Sky, who really, I think, originated this trend, sharing their video of, I believe, their most recent hike through. And that's also beautiful, charming, and I think wins the award for best dog. and I think that you get that sense on that trip that like that would be a really fun trip to be on. I think a thing that makes me nervous is people going out there thinking it's a good idea to bring a bow and arrow and a bong with you, as opposed to a satellite transceiver responder and some flares what I'd pack instead, but it's mostly just because I want to make sure no one dies in there.
I think also like the showcase of that, it shows kind of how preposterous it was.
Well, and so I guess so
that they were like, all right, this is our priority.
Yeah, Aiden's backcountry bushwhack adventure finished off the night and really was like a fantastic amount of comic relief and incredibly charming. I think Ashley and Aiden are in a strong competition for the most, charming narrator.
Yeah.
Selfie stick narrator. Oh, it's just so watching someone climb a hill, or there's a few moments where people just say, this is the craziest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I think I'm going to die.
I liked Ashley sharing a little bit of history and some old photos in hers as well. It was really cool, the picture of the lighthouse and little stories about it. And yeah.
So the organization or group behind the whole concept and idea, how is it for you guys seeing the uptick of videos and people hiking it and sharing all these videos over the years, right? So this is something, when you're watching it, this is something that the Seawall Trail Society has pretty much created. Even though people have been doing similar sort of route for years before, but to coin it as a actual name, actual route, actual project that's trying to get pushed through, and now you see people doing all these videos and they're getting posted up. How do you guys feel as an organization that, you know, shit, that was, you know, us that was behind all this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's, I think we're really excited by it because for us, the project was born out of a community economic development group in Cape North that wanted to look at using natural resources to build sustainable economic development. And the thing that makes that happen is the majesty of the wilderness up there. The wilderness up there is unbelievable. I believe it's the most beautiful in Nova Scotia. It is truly breathtaking, and it is there for all of Nova Scotians to appreciate, except for that there's no way right now for people to access that area. Mm-hmm. And Pollitt's Cove has sort of like blown up, but there's no other way for people that they know of to get in there and experience this incredible relationship with nature that we can have. And so I think that the Seawall Trail has really looked to do both of those things. Build a relationship of stewardship with nature, create this incredible experience, as well as protect the wilderness through infrastructure and create jobs in the area. And so we've been working with government partners, like actually many groups before us. This proposed trail has been suggested in the past. We've been waiting for permissions and to be able to find funding to do a capital build to establish these huts. By people getting out there and putting videos out on the internet, what it does is it raises awareness about the amazing assets that are there. Right now, we don't have any infrastructure in place to facilitate people experiencing it or to protect the wilderness. Sort of the idea of just building a trail is about keeping everyone's footprints on the same path. And right now, we don't have that path to put people on. And so, I think we've been really hesitant to throw the word out there to the public, because we want to protect the wilderness area. Now the nature of the hikes that people are doing right now, self-guided or working, or going with Live Life Intents on a guided trip, these, opportunities are something beyond what we can do as a society right now. And so we're just really happy to see people appreciating the value of what's there. It's been amazing to see. It's also incredible the skill and artistry in these films and influencers. They are amazingly talented people and have captured this wilderness area. So it's really exciting to see it getting out to the public. I think we have a little trepidation about having started this idea and having sent it out into the world without having the ability to right now host people safely in there. That's our sort of greatest concern.
Yeah. There's a broad spectrum of people that are hiking it. And from the information that I get from people who have done it, feedback from them or questions, there's, like I said before, there was a big disconnect between what they think it is and what it actually is. And it's happened a couple times to us on different trips, not necessarily Seawall, but, like our winter trips and all that sort of stuff. We've been seeing it over the years, right? So it's trying to educate people on what it's actually like back there if you don't have previous experience. But yeah, it's creating a safer route for everybody. I mean, there's plenty of places back there you can pretty much drop off and die. Yeah. So, I mean, it's happened half a dozen times at every trip, right? So, I mean, but that's the beauty of it. You're coming close to like death. Pretty much.
Yeah. I think that that's what it's about. I think it really, to me, it's a spiritual experience where you are challenged to the point of fearing for your life. But in order for that to be a healthy experience, there has to be someone holding safety for it. And right now, no one's holding that safety. And so people going on trips that do not have previous experience hiking without a trail, navigating using maps or GPS, should not attempt it. Should go on a guided trip.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Claire, is there anything else you want to tell our listeners about your organization, where we can find you?
Yeah, we're right now trying to develop further public support for our project, which is difficult because every time we go public with it, people say, what's taking so long and how do I do it? And our answer to that is, ask Department of Environment why it's taking so long because we can't figure it out. And that you can't do it yet because the infrastructure isn't there. So we have an amazing video, which Lee helped put together and Davy and Sky Media edited and produced. And it is beautiful. It's on our website and it does a really good job of explaining the experience and the rationale behind our project. And we would encourage people to visit our website, www.seawalltrail.com, and check out that video.
And we'll make sure that's in the show notes too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But as far as this film festival goes, are we going to do it again? Is that the plan or is this a one-off? I was sitting here last night and I'm like, oh, this would be a cool, not necessarily only Seawall Trail videos, but you guys, if in the future, could put on a film festival, more an adventure film festival to raise awareness, maybe fundraise for the trail, that sort of stuff. And it'd be a pretty cool event to bring community partners as far as like in the adventure space together in one place annually in, you know, the end of October in a shoulder season here at Cabot Shores. Maybe not as hungover as I was this morning, but close to it, right? And bring people together, discuss exactly what we're doing right now, right? But it could be a cool way of bringing more awareness to it. But you know.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to do that. I'd also love to hire Canary as the technician.
Right, done.
And I think a thing that's a real struggle for the project is trying to get the project in front of decision makers. And we kind of get this like, yeah, yeah, right.
You're just going to chirp them just like I chirp them.
Well, so this is, I think, the beauty of the films created is that it gives people who are never going to hike this trail, who are likely the people holding the purse strings, a chance to really see the asset that exists here, to really appreciate the majesty, the exceptional world-class nature of this environment. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we had talked a while back about maybe doing a partnership with A Night of Adventure or A for Adventure. And I think a question of like, what is the location that we can get people to? It's really hard. I mean, we love to do it in the northern communities of Pleasant Bay and Bay St. Lawrence, because that's really where the project's based. But bringing the project down to Indian Brook here, which is like a little bit closer to everyone else, I think helps. How to make it a big public event, maybe like doing an event in Halifax to get in front of people, really makes sense. And I think we'd love to do it again. I think what we are working together this morning on is coming up with an agreed upon set of things to tell the public. Because the more that we increase the profile of the project, the more people are going to attempt the traverse without necessarily proper training or experience. The films do an amazing job of showing how fun it is and showing people smiling through the tears. But it does kind of like glamorize something that is actually quite painful and really quite dangerous. And I think that we all need to be on the same page about being very clear about the risks to people as we continue to elevate the profile of the project. But I think absolutely, I want everyone to see these films.
Well, you know what you should do? Hire a PI, get some dirt on those, you know, decision makers, right? And we'll blackmail them. Well,
that's what they would do in the States.
Exactly, right? So we'll just do what they do.
How long is the Seawall Trail development anticipated to take?
Okay, so this is about 10 years of this iteration of the trail. The previous proposed iteration, I think, also ran about a decade. And I think what's really amazing about what's happening right now is that in the past, the dreams have died behind red tape, permissions, and the burden of funding assembly. And the dream is alive, and it's out there. And so I think we are no longer waiting for a Seawall Trail. It is being offered and explored. It's just not being done in a way that I think the province of Nova Scotia can easily market and know that it's not depleting the resource that it is protected up there in the Paulets Cove Aspie Fault Wilderness area. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would say that the we need new energy, and we're really excited to see a new group of people coming in. This board has been very based in the northern communities, and I think that that's its greatest strength, is that it is actually a grassroots project. Mm-hmm. That said, board members won't stay on board for much longer than a decade without some movement.
That's right. Well, big shout out to Paul for hosting this.
Thank you so much, Paul Weinberg.
Cabot Shores Wilderness Resort. Big shout out to all of the filmmakers and hikers that came, and the board members, and Dave being here and running over his proposed route.
Yep. And so how can people find about Seawall Trail and support?
Seawalltrail.com.
Seawalltrail.com, our website, is the best way. On that, we have our three-pronged campaign that we're currently running, with our video that we'd love for you to share on social media, with an ability for you to leave a comment or a letter of support. And we are also fundraising right now, so people can donate and receive a charitable receipt for their donation.
That's great. Well, thanks for sitting down with us, Canary.
You're so welcome, Canary. I really appreciate this. And thank you, everyone, for giving us this time and space to do that.
Great. Thanks.
See ya.
Cheers.